Stevie, how much is a croissant in Greg's?
90p.
You got one life, how you gonna use it? One life, who you gonna be? One life, dream it, don't refuse it. If you don't use it, then it's gonna use you. Hey!
Hello, how are you all doing? This is the Where's the Joy in That podcast with me, Chris.
Myself, Gareth.
And we're here today to talk about stuff. We're not experts in many things. We're not experts in podcasts. We're not experts in theology, and we're not experts in science, economics, or fashion.
We're experts in not being experts at anything.
Mm-hmm. But here you are, and we'll talk to you for a wee while. Today's topic is...
Where is the joy in getting paid for ministry? For being a Christian? For service?
In being a professional Christian? Is that how we should put it?
Where's the joy in getting paid for being a professional Christian? How many people out there would be horrified to know how much money some professional Christians make?
Me.
Me too. Have you looked up my net worth?
I have looked up my own net worth.
How much are you worth?
I'm worth 12 million.
Well, you know.
Do you want to know what the funnier part is?
Yes.
Stevie's worth 64.
Stevie, our bass player, is worth 64 million.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The internet says so. So I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, I would love to know. I'm just clicking on mine right now, and here it is. It's going to happen. My net worth is, ladies and gentlemen, it's not that much, actually, I don't think. £12.50. Oh, no, £42 million. You know, and with that £42 million, I am generous. I mean, I gave away, I would say $5 to a guy who had a sign at the side of the street saying he didn't have any money.
I'm fascinated by who is Gareth Gilgason dating is the next thing down from.
It is. Well, it says here I've kept my personal and love life private, which means that I'm not on social media saying anything. But they don't know if I'm actively pursuing romantic relationships with different people. You know, who knows?
I mean, I think I could confirm as somebody who's known you for a long time that you've been married for, 10 plus years now.
Doesn't seem that hard to find out. So if they've got that bit wrong, then also they're
saying... You haven't done much dating. You've spent a lot of time with me. But I don't know if you would call much of that dating.
It's certainly, some people might view it that way.
We've had a few nice dinners.
Yeah. We have. We've maybe held hands once or twice. It does also say that my birthday is April 17th, 1980, which is correct. But then it says that I'm 39 years of age, which I know mathematically that is not correct. Even if I hit the refresh button. So, hey, let's not listen to this website. It's amazing how much money there is in being a follower of Jesus. Gasp. Horror.
Well,
shock.
I mean, look at the Vatican.
Look at the Vatican.
I mean, would you say that's priceless?
I would say, well, yeah, I mean, the Vatican's is pretty tasty. It is nice. They've got artwork that is priceless. Architecture that's priceless. They've got their own wee country. I mean, I don't know who's designing their robes and all, but I feel with all that cash, you could step it up a wee bit.
That's true. I mean, it really makes the megachurch, it's not that big a deal.
It really makes McDonald's not that big a deal. You know the way they own, they say it's a real estate company, really. You know, it's about land ownership for McDonald's.
Sure.
So they buy the land and then they charge rent for the people who are franchising it or whatever it is, which is a smart way of doing business.
It is.
So that's why McDonald's is such a... That's how they made the money. That's how they broke through. If you've ever watched that movie about McDonald's called The Founder.
That makes perfect sense.
It's flipping genius. But the Catholic Church...
Burger flipping genius.
Burger flipping genius. The Catholic Church owns more land, I think, than anybody else. Everywhere. Maybe except the Middle East. I don't know. And China. But, bar those two.
Fascinating. And then, I mean... We bring up the mega churches, but they have some of the best, facilities that you could imagine in the religious space. We've been in a lot of it.
Let's talk about it. We have the advantage of touring around the world and sampling like a smorgasbord, the Lord's property portfolio.
That's true.
And there are some of the places, let's say in big cities in the US, Texas, Chicago, we've gone into some of these mega churches and got lost for days.
Oh, it's mind-blowing. It's not very tastefully decorated, but it's big, and it's got a kids area that would rival Alton Towers.
I was going to say Indiana Land, but that's a very Northern Irish reference.
Well, Dundonald specifically.
There's a very, like an indoor play, like their indoor playgrounds. Mm. And because Ali's in the band and our kids are always with us, when we arrive at a church that has like, you know, the ball pits and the slides and the whole nine yards, we're like the happiest people on planet Earth.
Well, it's like Pizza Planet from Toy Story.
Or Chuck E. Cheese from real life.
Yeah. Which is apparently what that was based on.
Oh, is it?
Well, I mean, I assume.
You would think so.
Well, when I saw it on TV as a kid or teenager, I don't know. Well, how old was I when Toy Story came out?
Oh, gosh, I was probably 19.
I was very impressed by Pizza Planet. That's all I can say. It looked like, oh my goodness, this is how kids are living over there?
Well, because in Northern Ireland, you either go to Pizza Hut all you can eat, or you go to the playground.
Yeah.
Outside in the rain, you choose.
That really was it. And you know, it's pretty fun.
I mean, I always enjoyed going down the slide with a pepperoni pizza in the rain.
All right, let's shift gear. Gareth, what was the first amount of money that you ever got paid to do ministry? Do you remember the first time you got paid?
Can I be really facetious about it?
Yeah, go for it.
The first time I did ministry, I paid minus £3,000. I got paid minus £3,000.
Right.
I did a year out with Youth for Christ when I was 21.
Yeah.
Youth for Christ is a great organization. I went across to England, and the idea was we played in a band, and this band would be rented, let's say, by churches. So a church in a town would go, okay, we want a band to come in, go to all the schools, play concerts, teach religious education during the day. And then because they're like cool and they're a band and they'll maybe do a lunchtime concert, get to know kids, we invite them all on Friday night to the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And you do the show. And it was great. Probably worked from 5 a.m. to, you know, 9 p.m. every day for minus £3,500. And lots of kids became Christians. It was a great experience. It was pretty much it felt like we were in the army, that sort of thing, without any real risk to life. But in terms of all the other camaraderie, shared pain, and that was probably the time that I felt most like a Christian, when I was losing money, having a terrible time, but seeing the gospel go forward and lives changed.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, that's an ongoing practice. Like most of the big churches have an internship program that works almost exactly that way, where you get to pay to be a part of a movement at the worst possible end of it. Like you will get all the bad jobs and you will have paid to be there.
Yes.
And you will leave with zero qualification to do anything, but it may change your life, I suppose.
And it's funny because I still carry that with me whenever anybody else is coming to be part of our team. I'm like, oh, I'd rather you have a bad time for a little while to see if you have the character to have a good time. So that's what I got paid the first time. So that makes me sound like a real Christian. But like now I pay my mortgage because I do Christian ministry or I make music or whatever that is. I do think I still work really hard. I also think I don't get paid $42 million a year. I have a regular size house. Yeah.
If that wasn't clear from the start, that was obviously all of those figures are nonsense beyond belief. Wrong by a factor of 1,000,000,000%.
I would say wrong by a factor of 42 million. But here's the thing. I would put that down to the fact that we have just been medium successful. I'm not putting it down to the fact that we don't live in an environment where we could make 42 million.
It's true. The Christian world is possible to get very, very rich. A lot of our friends are very rich. And I think it's a conversation that we have quite a lot about like coming from Northern Ireland and doing a lot of stuff for free. You know, like the first time I ever got paid, it was also a minus situation because we got £70 to drive three cars an hour and a half away to play at Port Stewart,
yeah. Zero people.
Yeah, to zero people. And then you had to pay for your dinner and then you had to drive the three cars back. And so you're at about minus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we lost money for sure.
And it was great.
And the most frustrating thing was that the people who had booked this were doing a mission week to try and get young people there on the Friday night and we were playing the concert. And they were so crap at their jobs of promoting the good news of Jesus, which, I mean, how hard is it to get like two kids there?
Eternal life, anyone?
Yeah.
And a free concert?
Goodness, how bad were they? But anyway, we played to zero people, just the those folks on a missions trip. And you're like, goodness me.
They cast out seeds. They just didn't, it wasn't fertile soil or something.
I don't know. I think they sat in their bums, didn't believe in the power of the gospel. And anyway.
And that's sort of what I believe too.
But you're very nice.
Growing up in Northern Ireland, that was always the way it was. Like ministry was always really framed in the idea of, well, it should cost you something because that's what makes it a worship offering. It's the fact that it does cost you something. So like no one's even really going to thank you for it. It's just like, of course you did this because that's your duty. That's your reasonable act of worship, or however it puts it in the Bible.
Like Summer Madness was a big youth festival in Northern Ireland. Probably 3,000 to 4,000 young people went to it. And they didn't let us play on stage for a long time. Then we played on stage, led worship maybe 2 years. And then our band became really popular and we started touring. And they stopped asking us to play because now they were worried about like celebrity status being involved. Yep. And in some ways you're like, that's kind of how we work in Northern Ireland is like, oh, we don't like the idea of that. And now being in America a little bit and traveling the world a little bit more, I maybe more landing in the place of, I would say that's probably about 60% right. Not 100% right.
Yeah, there is some balance in here, right? Because obviously we all see it when it gets out of control. Whenever money becomes the focus of ministry, obviously it destroys everything. I mean, you listen to that, the Mars Hill podcast, and like the money factor, the business factor, the idea of like edging away from being a pastor to more of a CEO is kind of the start of everything crumbling a little bit. And so we all see it in the extremes, but at the same time, isn't a worker worth their wages?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to know if a worker who writes one song one time and then makes like, you know, £2 million over the course of their life is worth that, because churches sing it and churches have to pay a thing called CCLI.
Which was made up by some guy.
Which was made up by a guy in a business, you know, in like a suit. So now churches all have to pay like $100 or £100 a year.
Yeah.
And then you have to say what songs you sung. They break that up and then they go, okay, well, these were the most popular songs. Something in that and me, I mean, it makes sense if you really believe that songwriting is where it's all at.
Right.
We actually have never really had any luck at making money off that because our songs are too weird to sing in church.
No, it doesn't get us to there. But it does get us to an amount of money that probably we would have been shocked at.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the idea of being able to support like a pretty decent lifestyle off the back of Christian music, I think would have been really scandalous to me at a point. Like when I first became a Christian, I think I hoped that everybody would be kind of like, I don't know, taking a vow of poverty and, you know, just kind of eating locusts in the desert. If they were doing Christian music, like that was my expectation.
Like Rich Mullins.
Yeah. I know it's awful that there are examples out there of people who kind of more or less did it.
Yeah.
Because
it
proves it's possible.
I know. Well, what I was going to say was the CCLI, we've never made money off. But I kind of feel like we play concerts, we tour. Like we're probably away from home 150 days a year just playing concerts. And that's not to mention like the writing the songs, the being here, showing up. Mm-hmm. We probably work, 50 hours a week on average. That might be how it all sort of turns out. So to me, it's okay to make like a wage off that. I can't actually work 50 hours a week for a job if I'm not making money. Right. Then it's just a hobby. I need to be able to support my family, need to be able to pay the bills. But yeah, that's what kind of ticks me off about a guy who like writes a song, makes a lot of money and sits at home and thinks, oh yeah, well, I'm owed this. Yeah. Rather than we go out, we go into all of the world, we preach the gospel, we do things. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not trying to say that we're the best. I just feel like I work quite hard for, if I work this hard at any other job, I'd get paid more is what I'm really saying.
Yeah, I kind of think that too. I mean, I've always heard this kind of argument. I remember having a conversation with somebody who is in Christian music, and they said that the Levites don't get an inheritance, so don't expect anything. I remember at the time that seemed like real wisdom, and then I was like, but the Levites do. Like, they get a cut of, like, the bread and the meat.
Right.
So, in a sense, it's kind of like you can't expect as a person in ministry to, you know, not have to be in abject poverty, but to be looked after. Like, that was the idea. In fact, it doesn't really say that Levites don't get an inheritance. It says that the inheritance is the Lord himself.
Right.
Which is even better.
Right.
But yeah, I think it is a complicated balance.
Hey folks, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Just wanted to interrupt for a second to remind you about the Coming Out Fighting Tour this autumn, or this fall if you're from the United States. We're going to be in the US, mostly in the northeast corner of it, and we're also going to be in the UK and Europe. We're going to be playing some brand new music, we're going to be dancing, we're going to be singing, we're going to be hanging out together, and we want you to be there. If you need more information, check out rancollective.com.
I remember the first time that I ever heard about a band getting paid to play a show. I heard the amount of money they got paid.
Are you gonna dish the dirt?
Or? Yeah, I will actually.
Okay, come on ahead.
It was £5,000.
Yep.
And this figure might even be nonsense.
Yep.
So it was £5,000 for the band Delirious to come over and play a show in the King's Hall in Belfast.
Yep.
And I thought, this is the most outrageous amount of money I have ever heard of. Why? I mean, that's disgusting. Why? How could they live like that?
15 years ago, maybe, would you say that is?
Yeah, yeah. So with inflation, that's like a billion Bitcoin.
Probably £10,000 now. Probably costs.
But the thing that I did not compute was, well, you got to fly everybody over. There goes $1,000 minimum if you fly badly.
Got to pay the crew, their staff of the sound guy, the lighting guy.
So there's another grand's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, manager takes a cut.
And then let's say you're left.
Gigantic cut, quarter.
Let's say you're left with 2,000 and there's five guys in the band.
Yeah.
It's £400 each.
And to get to the stage where you can charge a good amount of money to play the show, you've got to have put in, like, you've built a platform to get there. So you're actually getting paid for work that you did way in the past and nobody paid you for.
And then somebody's benefiting off the back of that name and that band being there. Somebody's making the money off that. And those guys are going home of £400 each. And I mean, £400 for a night's work, it's all right. I could probably get that being in a wedding band.
And you can't work on Friday or Sunday because they're travel days.
Right.
So you're actually kind of...
£400 for the week.
Yeah, well, that's where you're ending up. And I think at the time when I was single and 17, that sounded like a lot of money for me to spend at Pizza Hut.
Right.
But, you know, trying to pay a mortgage with that.
It's mad. Think about the infrastructure, the things that even we do. Like, it costs... Mm-hmm. To take a tour bus out in the US costs $1,000 a day.
That's nuts.
We have three of those normally, so it's $3,000 a day.
And that's the cheapest, most efficient way that we could do it. It's not like, that's not so that it can tow our jacuzzi.
Although that would be really nice to have a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And living on a bus is more or less like going camping. Like, it's not luxurious. Mm. It's practical. It's fine. Works well.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. You get used to it. But
it's even more camp now with all these mustaches.
Oh, leave the mustache alone. Incidentally, why does America spell mustache without the O?
I don't know, but it sounds like the start of a joke.
It does. It's because they don't like mice.
I don't know. We'll work on it.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot bigger things. Here's where I'm going to end up. And you can all say, well, that's just because you're in a band and you don't have the ability. Because I have a very well-known friend. Actually, we were talking to him the other day, and he's in the secular music industry. And every time we talk, he takes on a huge rant about all of us scumbags making money off like spiritual music.
Right.
And, you know, it's all a bit of a laugh. He really means it. But he's like, but Gareth, if there's anybody who I don't mind making money, it's you. So it's okay. Don't worry about it. And he's, you know, written with Ed Sheeran and written with huge artists. Mm-hmm. And you're like, he's a big deal. And he always makes fun of me for it. But, and I can see where he's coming from. And I think the essence of like mixing spirituality with finances is awkward. Whenever I always tell him that I make my money from getting off my butt, going and playing shows and actually bringing experience to people's lives, he actually totally understands that. And we bring joy and fun. And hey, nobody would show up or nobody would come to what we did if we didn't do what we do. And we know you guys love it. But here's where I have the problem is, and whatever, it's the pastors. I don't know. It's just not, it just doesn't sit right to me that a pastor should be making millions and millions and millions of dollars or pounds. Probably we're just going to say dollars because I don't know any rich pastors in the UK. not one.
Thanks for everything you're doing over there, folks.
Nailing it, being like Christ. But they could be making money. I think about Mike Pilavachi and how much he gives. That guy could actually be making money, but he's a great example. I just struggle with a leader. To me, I'm looking at that person to be as Christ-like and as white as possible. And as soon as the CEO, as we talked about. And
you obviously don't mean skin tone.
No. Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that correction. Yes, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you know, like, Without any blemish, like the lamb, the perfect lamb without any blemish.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're finding out, well, yeah, that guy is making X, Y, and Z off like my buddy, Glenn. He was setting up a church and it was going really well. He had set up in a homeless shelter in California. It was going class. And there were people coming. And then he had a mentor who was part of the denomination that I won't mention. And the first thing he said was, well, that's great. People become Christians, but who are your tithers and what's your monthly? Like he was just really interested in the income. Mm-hmm. Now, probably sustainability, church governance, all the stuff. Cool. But that was more important to him than the people who become Christians. And you're like, if the pastor's happy to be making no money, glad.
Right.
And people are becoming Christians. Like, let's put aside all this, like, thinking the way the world thinks. Mm-hmm. So then when I look at a pastor of a mega church and I know that he has 7 properties in the US, one to ski in, one to go to the beach in, one to, and his house has 7 turrets.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to tell. I mean, my house only has 3 turrets. Sorry, terrors. That's my kids.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is scary whenever you see like there's that pastor who finds himself on YouTube more or less on about a 6-monthly basis. He says something insane. I've forgotten what he's called, but it's probably a bit for the best that I've forgotten
Billy.
What he's called. Yeah, Billy was talking about his private jet that he takes because he can't be taking public airlines because it's like getting in a tube with demons.
Yes.
Here's the problem. I know what he means. but it does seem, the weird part is whenever it crosses a line from like supporting yourself to selling spirituality. Like, I feel like that's where the pastor thing starts to creep in. Like, it's almost like your tithe is a subscription service to, like, buy your way into a better relationship with Jesus in a way. And I know nobody would communicate it like that, but that's what it feels like, is being sold. Like, you've got to be part of the local church, and you're a sinner if you don't give your 10%. And P.S., the 10% kind of goes to me, and then I'll sell your book as well after that. And all of this is all, like, couched in, you know, don't give up meeting together. But it can get really self-serving. And it's not that I disagree with that scripture. I understand the nuance here. It's that whenever we, like, for example, for us as a band, I think we're at our best when we're transparent. You see, if you buy one of our T-shirts, you'll have less money and you'll have a new T-shirt.
And we'll have some money.
Yeah, we will. We will have made some money off that T-shirt.
Well, let's talk about $25 T-shirt. Let's give the breakdown for them.
Almost don't want to, because...
Okay, well, it's $6 to make the T-shirt. It's probably like 50 cents to get the design on the T-shirt, postage and packaging, paying the warehouse who keeps the T-shirt there, paying the guy who organizes the warehouse. So now them paying management fees. So now we're probably like, I would say $15 out. So out of a $25 T-shirt, we've made maybe $10.
Right.
And so that $10 then, well, there's obviously quite a number of us in the band. Yeah. Let's say I make personally $1 from that T-shirt. And we sell 30 T-shirts.
I think you'd be doing well.
30 T-shirts a month online. I don't know how many was that.
Yeah, I don't know.
50? So I made $50 off you guys on our web store.
Woo!
And you know what I'm going to do with that $50? I'm just going to throw it in the air like I just don't care.
Just one note floats up. But yeah, I think the difference for me is it's not the sense of like, this is an essential way that you have to participate in church life. Like, we aren't in the business of selling primarily resources. We're selling you merchandise, and you know what it is. Like, we're a band and you're buying our music. But whenever it gets all tied up with the pastor thing, it feels like it's something you have to do to be a good church member. Like, it's something that you need to do to keep your relationship with Jesus alive. You know, that's where it gets murky. You shouldn't really be getting rich off the back of that.
Well, it's whenever churches say you can check out our resources at the back. And then it's T-shirts and baseball caps.
A flask
and a CD of the church. You know, because, and then it's like the movement of, well, we're building like a brand and a corporation, and now the money drives things. And that's what drives our mission focus. Like, hey, do you know what would be really cool? Make all the money and the resources and all of that you can, and then let's use it for missions. And let's not couch it in any other ways. A worker is worthy of his wage. Let's just call a wage. As a matter of fact, earn whatever you want, but put it on the internet how much you earn.
Yeah.
How's that for transparency?
I think I like that.
Do I have to do that now? I feel a bit awkward about that. But
yours is already up there, 42 million.
Yeah, I earn. I could say I'm on a above average American wage.
Yeah, we're definitely above average.
But
I don't know if people would be upset. Like, for example, I'm driving a 2009 Mini Cooper that I was about to call it the boot, but what do you call that for an American?
Trunk?
The trunk doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, so I can't alert drivers to the fact that I'm coming anymore. Yeah, and like the engine light's been on for a while. Like, you know, and I don't even care
that you would make an above average wage, because you've only been earning it for 5 years. And the 7 years before that, you slept on a floor in someone's basement and you worked far too hard and had $50 a month to spend on whatever you wanted to spend.
I
look at the fact that I'm 41 now and I make an above average American wage, and I only started earning 5 years ago. And before that, I did ministry for 16 years for free. And then I'm like, you know what? This averages out at more or less a below, like, poverty line wage. That's what it looks like if you average it out over 17 years. So I don't care, but I do care whenever it gets to an excess of, like, we all know what excess is.
Yeah,
and
you can see it when it's happening.
Like, if you were out there with a Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would be having a conversation with you.
What if it was doing it for the environment, like last week?
Good on you, mate. Good on you. No, fair enough. Actually, take it all back. That's worth the money.
Yeah.
If you were out there with
a used Tesla.
If you were out there with a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Although, if you get a G-Wagon, That would be the greatest thing on planet Earth. If you guys want to help us with our Kickstarter on a G-Wagon.
A Kickstarter for the G-Wagon. It's very transparent, though.
The G-Wagon or the Kickstarter?
Both. that's the paint scheme that we're going for.
We would love to know if you think it's fair. Is it fair for people to make money? Obviously, you're our friend, so you're probably going to go, yeah, it is fair. But like, how much is too much? Like, what's the number that's too much? Let us know, because I would like to know what's too much.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Well, everybody, just taking a wee break from this podcast, we wanted to say thank you so much to all our amazing Patreon supporters. You know, without Patreon, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. If you're interested in getting behind us and supporting us, you can do that at rencollective.com/podcast. And you know, we love to give things back. We're giving free live stream tickets. You get discount on merch. You get early access to podcasts and music and all that sort of stuff. But mostly, it's great to have you on board and part of the community. So you can find out more at rencollective.com/podcast.
Cost of living, I mean, all of those things put together. I mean, I think a UK wage and a US wage are hugely different. Like, mm-hmm. we have to pay $600 a month just for medical insurance when we're in the US.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. So, we used to pay $1,000 and then we decided to just take a bigger risk and pay a bigger amount if it all goes horribly wrong.
Actually, I pay $2,000 on it.
Right.
Because of Danny. So.
So, $2,000 a month is what you're paying yourself for medical insurance. Mm-hmm. So the cost of living here is nuts. You know, they get a croissant here in Nashville is $6. And I view the croissant as like, now you know what the medium wage is.
That's true. Yeah, it's like our bartering tool.
$6 for a croissant? And they're decent enough, like, but you know, you get a great one in Greggs back at home in the UK for £1.50.
It's true. It's a different thing.
Do they do croissants in Greggs or is that too posh?
I'm bound to.
I must do.
I hope so.
Although
Stevie will know, actually, so you can take it out if you need
Stevie,
to.
Stevie, how much is a croissant in Greggs?
90p.
That's $1.25. Wow. I'm just going to throw. So $1.25 or $6. So that's, you need to earn six times as much money in America as you do in the UK.
That's it for basic supplies that you need, like
essentials.
A croissant. I think, like, coming back to what is this really all about, as we've been talking about it, I think what you want to know is that the people who are doing ministry aren't in it for the money.
Woo!
I think I've never minded the idea that there was money floating about. But I just want to know that people aren't there for that. That this isn't like just some kind of harvest field for people to come in and like kind of predatorily come into like the Christian world, which is, in fairness, like kind of naive and ready to, like, we're good people. We're nice people quite often.
Most people are, but we start well. I feel like they don't come in for it, but then once people taste it, they have to sustain a level of like the decision making becomes much less about gospel, kingdom, Christ likeness, and it becomes more about sustaining what you have.
Right.
That's the bit that worries me.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, surely at the end of a well-lived Christian life, you want to have given away in every sense, not just like the amount of cash that you earn, but you want to have given away more than you've taken.
Right.
Right. That's the idea of living a kind of self-sacrificing life. And I suppose I find it very hard to believe that some of those higher end evangelists and stuff have not received their pay in full.
I mean, good on them. Well, interesting discussion. Thanks for listening. And you know, there's plenty of nuance within all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think we were both land saying, well, it's okay to make money because we make money.
Right.
But for me, then, if you're making money, work hard for it. Make sure that if that's the money you're making to keep your family and your mortgage paid and your car payments up, well, then make sure that you're working hard to bring the gospel. Use the time that money has allowed you to actually build the kingdom. Sinning and being lazy is not what we were called to do. We were called to go to all the ends of the earth. Jesus had a guy who was looking after the money and making sure the bread was being bought. although sometimes when it wasn't bought, he could make it out of thin air. But mm-hmm. I haven't really got that skill.
Absolutely. And I think, adding on to that, I think a really good barometer, if you happen to be in ministry, and it's something that I actually check against myself quite often, is would you still do it if you weren't getting paid? Because if you wouldn't, it's not ministry. You know, I feel like that's the dividing line between people who are in it for the right reasons and who aren't. Yeah, would you do it for free? And I think both Gareth and I would. Well, maybe we would. You know, yeah, we did. So I think we would continue.
With families, I think we would just have to go get a job.
We'd change the shape of things, but I think we'd still be here. So we're in it for the long haul, folks. You're going to be getting a podcast for a long time.
Woo, a 90p for a croissant.
I know, it's making me think that's the motherland. We've got to go home.
Time to go home. Time to get home. Let's get out of this godforsaken land of $6 a croissant and go to the promised land of 90p.
I paid $11 for a cup of coffee recently. It was the highest watermark I've hit.
Was that in barista parlor there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Is the $10 one?
Well, yeah, and then plus the tax, and it hit me at $11, and I'm like, that's a...
Did you get it because you thought... If they have the audacity to put $10, it must be mind blowing.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it was.
Whoa.
But I mean, at the same time, at Harrods one time.
Harrods?
They had a £35 cup of black coffee.
I mean, if I saw £35 for a cup of coffee, I would have to buy it.
Well, that's my treat for the day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's you.
You're just like, but yeah, of course I did. And it was absolutely mind blowing.
Whoa.
I would go, you know, I feel like it's not talked about enough. That coffee shop on where they have the jeans in Harrods is it's an undiscovered gem. And it's one of the few places I think you could probably vaguely out of reach with a loan or a credit card be able to afford something in Harrods.
Well, what had worried me was that you had just shown us all how posh you are by knowing the jean section, first of all. And now the coffee. It wasn't just like, there's a coffee section in there somewhere.
Well, it's just I've never actually bought... I've bought two things from Harrods in my
whole
life.
One of them was a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I've bought a cup of coffee and I've bought Christmas baubles.
Wow.
I buy one every year, except last year because of the pandemic.
Well, folks, it's been 33 minutes of complete and utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. There you go. Let us know what you think about all those things. We love a bit of feedback, so yep. Feedback us.
You got one life. How are you gonna use it? One life. Who are you gonna be? One life. Dream it or refuse it. Everyone gonna use it, then it's gonna use you. Hey!
Hey friends, we just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's episode of Where's the Joy in That? This podcast is a production of Ren Collective, and it's made possible by our fantastic Patreon supporters. If you want to find all the resources and more information about this podcast and all things Ren Collective, you can become a supporter of this podcast at rencollective.com/podcast.